Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. We hope today's worship service and message bring you inspiration and comfort. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Friends, we now have the opportunity to come into God's presence and talk about ourselves a bit. Talk about those aspects of our lives that are broken, that are hurting, maybe even sinful, things that we would like to release, let go of, move beyond, not deny, not avoid. God invites us to offer up our whole selves into God's presence, to offer up these hurting and broken places and seek God's grace. And so I invite us now to enter into a time of unison prayer that will be followed by time for silent confession, and then I will offer an assurance of God's love. Let us pray together. Silent word, creative act, hidden truth, revealed love, we wait for you. To be precise, we are impatient for you to come and set things right. We are insecure with our world, fearful of the widening cracks of indecency and injustice, and anxious about the future. Yet we refuse your guidance, instead wishing you would act according to our desires. We seldom pause to consider that you are waiting for us, waiting for genuine contrition on our part, waiting for us to repent and change, waiting for us to listen and then respond with burning passion for your truth, your compassion, your mercy. Forgive us. Do not give up on us, we pray. Furnish us with humble hearts and willing spirits, that when our time of waiting is past, we may embrace you fully and act for you faithfully. The good news we prepare to celebrate in these days, God's gift to us of Jesus, is for us a sign of hope, a sign of joy. For in Jesus, we know God's compassion freshly. In Jesus, we are forgiven of every brokenness. In Jesus, we know wholeness, and so know how to live out the purposes and priorities of God. Friends, hear and believe the good news, for in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven this day and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Fittingly, our two scripture lessons will hopefully tie into what we just talked about. The first is from the 7th chapter of Isaiah. Hear now God's word for God's people. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord God himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. For before the child knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Our gospel lesson from the first chapter of Matthew contains an echo of our Isaiah lesson. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just as he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her as his wife. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. And also in this season of Advent, we've been reading alongside our scripture text the poem Nativity by Scottish poet Kenneth Stephen. When the miracle happened, it was not with bright light or fire, but a farm door with the thick smell of sheep and wind tugging at the shutters. There was no sign that the world had changed forever or that God had taken place. Just a child crying softly in a corner and the door open for those who came to find. For a long, long time, I was a complete hater when it came to Hallmark Christmas movies. Whenever one was on the television at home, I would complain loudly until the channel was changed or I left the room. And as you might imagine, I ended up leaving the room a lot. I found anything that resembled theology in these movies to be pretty awful. I found the appropriation of Christmas imagery and language and music to be tortured at best. The storyline always seemed to be lacking, the acting felt thin, and so I stayed away from Hallmark movies as long and as far away as I could. But then in recent years, as the mood in our country has become darker and our politics have become ever more divisive, and fear has driven out reason, and conversations about race and weapons and civility and the role of science and religious toleration, all these things have consumed so much of our common good. As all this stuff swirled around and more, I found myself increasingly exhausted, even sickened by it all. And I began to long for an escape from, maybe a place to hide from is the better way to say it, a way to get away from all the chaos so that my mind and my soul could rest a bit. One November evening a few years back, I was sitting in my chair in the living room, and it was one of those days where the chaos had been making me more anxious than normal. And so there I was in the chair with the remote, just kind of flipping channels mindlessly, when I landed on a Hallmark Christmas movie. I didn't realize what I was watching at first, and by the time I did, I was already hooked into the story. And before I knew it, I had watched the entire movie. And then as I sat there pondering what I had just done, I realized that all of my misgivings about Hallmark's handling of Christmas were still in place. The theology was abysmal. I didn't like the appropriation of everything Christmas. I don't think I'll ever understand people on film dancing to Christmas carols at a Christmas party. There was still no storyline. The acting was not going to win any Academy Award. But, for 2 hours, there was no uncivil discourse. People worked together as a community for the betterment of community, to solve community problems. Grace was generally extended to those who needed it. Transformation was possible for even the biggest jerks. Cute dogs and cats were everywhere. Love overcame every obstacle placed in its way. And are you ready for it? It all ended with a kiss. And for those 2 hours, I didn't think about all the chaos. And for those 2 hours, and when it was done, I was a little less anxious. And the world seemed a little less dark. And so the next night, I watched another Hallmark movie. And again, the next night after that, and again, and so on, and so on. Now, I haven't gone as far as to download the Hallmark Christmas app onto my phone. And I haven't entered the contest to go be on the set of a movie, Christmas movie production, or travel to Kansas City for the Hallmark Christmas experience. And somebody was telling me between services, you can now go on Hallmark Christmas cruises. Who knew? I haven't gone that far, but I do continue to appreciate the momentary escape and to enjoy the guilty pleasure of avoiding all the angry chaos for a bit. And I don't think I'm alone in my Hallmark habit. I don't think I'm alone in my desire to momentarily escape from chaos and anxiety each day that so often just seems to compound on itself, pile on top of itself. That Hallmark is able to run their Christmas movies 24/7 from basically the middle of October until the first or second day of January suggests that lots of folks want or need a little escapism, want or need a happy ending. Perhaps more of us need this than we realize or allow ourselves to access. Now, the reason I'm bringing all of this up on the fourth Sunday of Advent has to do with the fact that as much as I enjoy these movies, I do so with the realization that the Hallmark understanding of Christmas has almost nothing to do with seeing and embracing the birth of Jesus as the life-changing and world-transforming gift from God that it is. Hallmark offers up a sense of Christmas that is a special feeling, that is a moment in time when magic is possible. Culturally, I think they're probably right on target with how most folks view and embrace Christmas these days. And because this view is so dominant in our culture, I believe it is then incumbent on all of us, incumbent on us who call ourselves disciples and try to follow Jesus to the best of our abilities. I think it is incumbent upon us to be abundantly clear to ourselves and to the world about what and who we come to find in the birth of Jesus. And I believe for us, the difference is that we don't come to Christmas just for a warm feeling or to discover a bit of relational magic. Those are nice things, don't get me wrong. But we know that Christmas means something just a little bit more, something a whole lot more. We know that we come. We come to Bethlehem. We come to the manger. We come to Christmas to find a Messiah, a messenger of God who comes to announce and comes to demonstrate how God's presence in our lives and in our world changes everything. We come to Christmas to find a Messiah who invites us to follow him and become part of God's change, become part of God's unfolding future. The conversation in this morning's lesson from Isaiah, between the prophet Isaiah speaking on behalf of God and Ahaz, king of Judah, who rules in Jerusalem, sitting on the throne of his ancestor, King David. This conversation is one of the primary spiritual wells from which our understanding of Jesus as Messiah, Jesus as the messenger of God, is drawn. The prophet Isaiah, speaking sometime during the reign of Ahaz, approximately 735 to 720 BCE, declares that a child will soon be born, and that this child will be given an incredible name, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Furthermore, by the time Emmanuel, God with us, is a toddler, he will understand the difference and be able to choose between good and evil, right and wrong. Emmanuel, the toddler, will be able to make better choices, more faithful choices than Ahaz, the anointed king who supposedly bears and makes decisions with the wisdom of God. Since the earliest days of the church, which formed in the aftermath of Jesus' ministry on earth, the church of which this congregation represents one body part, the church of Jesus Christ has always looked to the naming of Emmanuel in Isaiah chapter 7 as a description of God's Messiah, and therefore a foretelling of the birth of Jesus. And so we should not be surprised that in the lectionary lesson, lessons for the fourth Sunday of Advent, this is the Hebrew Scripture lesson. Now, almost 800 years later, when Matthew turned to writing his memories of life with Jesus, writing those things down into the gospel that bears his name, his story about the birth of Jesus draws heavily upon Isaiah's words about the young woman who will give birth to Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew understands Mary, the mother of Jesus, to be that young woman, to be the bearer of the Messiah. Four candles deep into our annual season of waiting and preparation for the Messiah that we know we need, we come this day to church, we come this day to Scripture, we come this day into each other's presence to discover afresh our Messiah, the Messiah Jesus who claims us and who transforms our lives, the Messiah Jesus, whoever is forever inviting us to follow him and run with him and dance with him and serve with him all the way into God's future. A future where God is forever creating a beloved kingdom, a beloved community on earth, where the poor are cared for and where the broken in any way are made whole, and where power is exercised through acts of compassion and acts of love. Now, for our spiritual homework today, I'm not going to suggest that we all rush home and watch a Hallmark Christmas movie. Unless, of course, you really want to, and you are more than welcome to do that. I am, however, going to invite each of us to spend some time thinking about the Messiah that we seek, the Messiah that we need in these days. For the one who is to come and come very soon, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is where our minds and our hearts and our eyes and our actions must be focused in these final days of Advent. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we ready for our Messiah, Jesus, who changes everything? Are we ready to go where he calls us? Are we ready to follow where he leads us? Are we ready to let go of and leave behind all that we have been, the life that we have known, those things that make us comfortable? Are we ready to let go of it all and be forever transformed by the love of God made real and tangible in Jesus. Are we ready? As frightening and disorienting as it may seem for us to embrace this newness of Jesus, I believe that we are ready. Ready for all Jesus represents, because we are those who have come to find a Messiah. Amen. I invite us now to find our bulletins and let us stand together and affirm our faith, proclaiming some of that which we believe. Together, we believe in God, robed in splendor, veiled in mystery, ruler alike of darkness and light. We encounter God in Jesus Christ, who endured the forces of human brokenness, but whose radiance could not be quenched, whose touch brings a blaze of color to a dull, drab world, reviving the weary, healing the wounded, dazzling the satisfied. We walk with God, guided by the light of God's loving Spirit, who enters the shadowed places of our hearts and leads us to truth and life. We wait for God and for the fulfillment of God's promises, for the time when darkness will hold no fear and the light will no longer blind, for the time when creation will be made whole once more and God's peace will reign forever. Amen. Let us now come before God in prayer. We give you thanks, O God. Thanks for this time of worship. Thanks for the one whom we await in these days that gives this time of worship such poignancy, such meaning, that invites us to dream of hope, to dream of peace, to dream of wholeness, to dream of your love made real and tangible for us in human flesh. We thank you in this season of waiting, this season of Advent, we thank you that you invite us to pause a bit and consider the ways that you want to be active in our lives, that you invite us afresh to commit ourselves to you and to your purposes and priorities, to commit ourselves not just to the excitement of a newborn baby, but to the excitement of your presence among us and the focus and purpose your presence always offers. Help us respond in this season, in these days. Help us respond with our very lives to your invitation. To your invitation in Jesus to be made new, to be transformed forever, transformed as individuals, transformed together as this church we love. Lord, we do indeed live in a world that is often chaotic, whose brokenness always seems to be on display, where confusion reigns easily. And in the midst of all this stuff, all this mess, all this chaos, we ask that in the gift of Jesus, you begin to refocus us, that you begin to peel back some of the chaos, that you begin to realign our lives once again. Realign our lives with each other, realign our lives with your creation, realign our lives with the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, who teaches us your ways, who invites us to imitate him, who expects us to make this world a holy and gracious and loving and compassion-filled space. Give us courage to turn our lives from what we know, to turn our lives from what we are comfortable with, to turn our lives and embrace your gift of Jesus afresh, and dare to go where he invites us to go. Dare to be who he invites us to be. Dare to love each other and all others with the same depth and same passion which he loves us. For we would be his faithful disciples, not just here at Christmas, but all the year long, every day of our lives, forever. We pray in gratitude in his name. We dare to pray together boldly, as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. If you can't join us in person, many of our beautiful worship services are live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the service times and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.